want us to know, to pursue you, Lord, is all that matters. We need to pursue you with all that we are, and you, O God, will come and you will touch our hearts. May it be so, Lord, that I'm your vessel this morning and that you would speak through me. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, an obsession with the supernatural oftentimes begins with the wrong motivation. It oftentimes begins with the wrong motivation. As we read last week, many are driven by a desire for self-empowerment or self-awareness. Think about Adam and Eve, right? We talked about Adam and Eve and how Adam and Eve in the Bible, it says when they saw that the fruit was good and that it was desire to make one wise, they partook, right? They were trying to become a better oneself or self-empowerment. Lucifer's fall. What did he say? I will exalt myself above the throne of God. I will sit upon the highest mountain. And so what happened? He was cast down as a result. And so there are people, one of the motivators for pursuing the supernatural is for self-empowerment. Another thing that we see is that many times people feel powerless or they feel fear. Fear of the unknown, and that causes a person to seek supernatural intervention. King Saul, he was the king of Israel, and yet he was going to war, and he was not aware of what was going to happen. He wasn't sure of the outcome. He was afraid in his heart, and so he sought out a medium. He sought out someone who would seek a person that was dead already to find out what was going to be happening. And it's written in the scripture. And as a result, God cursed him and he was killed in that battle. But there was this fear that was in him. There was this fear that was in him because he wasn't aware of the outcome. And you see that happen in many cases. People are looking for mediums and for people that read the cards or that look inside crystal balls and all of these things to try to tell them what their future is, these fortune tellers, these different ones. It's a pursuit of the supernatural for the sake of overcoming fear or trying to somehow get to a place where they don't feel powerless anymore. It's really interesting. There was a story in the Bible. Peter and John were ministering. Well, let me tell you the story, okay? It's found in Acts chapter 8, verse 9 through 23. Acts chapter 8, verse 9 through 23. I'm just going to read it to you. If you have your Bible, turn there. It says, "Now for some time a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city, and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, 'This man is rightly called the great power of God.' They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his sorcery. But when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized." Simon, the sorcerer, believed and was baptized. "And he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, 'Give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit.' Peter answered, 'May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord in the hope that he may forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin.'" Full of bitterness and captive to sin. Some people seek the supernatural because they are seeking to enhance their abilities. They're seeking to enhance their abilities through supernatural experience. A lot of people that are attracted to sorcery and attracted to the demonic, they are attracted to the idea of power. They are attracted to the idea of being able to control other people or have greater powers than other people have. And here was this man who had been a sorcerer, and it says that he was baptized. He said he believed and he was baptized. And yet, when Peter and John came to him and were ministering in the area, it said that he still was of the wrong mindset. He was still of this mindset of controlling and manipulation and power and holding things over people. He still wanted to be the front runner. He wanted to be the person that was greater than others. And Peter and John said very clearly, look, you may have believed and you may have been baptized, but your heart's full of bitterness and your life is full of sin. You can't even begin to think about receiving something until you surrender that to God. And that's what I want to talk to us about this morning, is that we cannot control the supernatural power of God. That is not the way that we should come to God, but rather that God controls us. Romans chapter 1 verse, well, let's see. Let me just back up for a minute. Let me just make this statement. There are many in the church today. There are many in the church today that are walking in the same spirit as Simon. They have been saved and baptized, but their life is full of sin. Rather than surrender to the power of God, they seek to control it. They want to be recognized for their spiritual abilities, but they are not submitted to the will of the Father. Authentic, good, godly spiritual pursuit must always begin with a complete surrender of our will to the will of the Father. Anything less than that is witchcraft. Romans 1, 21 and verse 28 and 29 says, but because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all ungodliness. When they knew God, they didn't glorify him as God. And so God gave them over to a reprobate mind, a mind that was warped. And so they were filled with all unrighteousness. There may be people sitting in these pews who think that everything in their life is just fine. They may think that they have everybody fooled. They may come to church and put on their game face and play the Christian part. But God is the one who discerns the hearts. God is the one who discerns the hearts. He is the one who knows all things. He knows everything. We cannot hide from God. We can't hide from God. There will come a day of judgment, and in that day, all things will be revealed. It is my obligation. It is my obligation as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ to warn you in the words of Jesus himself. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, the words of Jesus. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the ones who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Only the ones who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. What is the will of the Father? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. In John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, you can jot that down. A new command I give you. This was Jesus speaking. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Matthew chapter 7, 22 and 23. says, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name we drove out demons, in your name performed many miracles. Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. It may sound kind of harsh, but we need to understand this because it's so important. It really boils down to relationship. It boils down to relationship. The only way that relationship with God works, the only way that relationship with God works is that He is in control. The only way that relationship with God works is that He is in control. He is in control. I can't be in relationship with God and in control of myself. I cannot be in relationship with God and in control of myself. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. The supernatural obsession that we are longing for, this drawing toward a divine encounter with the supernatural presence of God, must not be an attempt on our part to control or manipulate the power of God. It cannot be an attempt on our part to control or manipulate the power of God. We have to be completely surrendered to His will. The true power of God can only be experienced at the point of complete surrender to the will of the Father. I want you to listen very carefully. There is no such thing as an impartation of the power of God. There's no such thing as an impartation of the power of God. If you think that you possess the power of God, you've been misled. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8. I am the Lord God. That is my name. I will not give my glory to anyone else. We know the scripture in Acts chapter 1. We quote it all the time. You will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The power belongs to the Holy Spirit. The power belongs to the Holy Spirit. Anyone who tries to control or manipulate the power of the Holy Spirit is guilty of the sin of witchcraft. You do not possess the Holy Spirit. The infilling of the Holy Spirit is when Holy Spirit possesses you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20, it says, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. What did Jesus say? I only do the will of my Father. I only do the will of my Father. God is real. God is alive. The whole point of the cross was to bring us back into relationship with God. That was the whole point of the cross. Romans chapter 8, 14. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. All who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. I want us to understand that God is trying to help us to get to a place of right believing, right understanding, right positioning. The point of this message and the messages that we have been receiving is to help us to have a clear, distinct understanding of correct relationship. Many times we have experiences, but because we don't have a firm foundation in the Word of God and the knowledge of Scripture, we can misinterpret what we experience. And so we may have an experience where we feel the power of God over, you know, pouring through us, and we think we have the power of God. We may have an experience where we pray for someone and we see them healed, and we think we have the power of God. That is not the case. And just because someone gets healed doesn't mean that God necessarily has you. It may mean that he just wanted to touch that person so much that he was willing to use a donkey to speak to a guy that was in rebellion. Are you hearing what I'm saying this morning? God has the ability to use whomever he chooses. But just because he used you doesn't mean that you are his. That is an extremely important thing to understand. We are his when we are surrendered to him. As Jesus said, I only do the will of my Father. This is where our intellect ends. How can a physical human being be in relationship with or interact with an invisible, supernatural spirit being? It doesn't make sense. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, it's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. We must seek God with our whole heart. With our heart, we must believe. You know, the greatest divide that we have in our being, and I'm sure you've heard this example before, but it's worth saying again, is the divide between right here and right here. That's the greatest divide between our mind and our heart. And God says, if you believe in your heart, you will be saved. If you believe in your heart. Isaiah 55, 6 and 7 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. With all of your heart. Encountering God, relationship with God, starts with repentance. It starts with repentance. It begins with surrender. And relationship is maintained by a day-to-day, moment-by-moment surrender of our will to the will of the Father. Romans 6:13. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. Give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have been given new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. I'm going to read this again, Romans 12, 1 and 2. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Relationship with the Almighty, all-powerful, supernatural, one true living God and our Heavenly Father is nothing less than a lifestyle of worship. Worship is best described as a complete surrender of all that I am to all that he is. Yield to God. Yield to God. Worshiping God equals yielding to God. Yielding to God equals relationship with God. Let's think about that word yield for a moment. If you are have been in any kind of a relationship, whether it is a relationship with a child to a parent, I think all of us have been in some kind of a relationship like that at some point in our lives, or whether it is a husband and wife, there is a point in relationship where in order to have relationship, to be in relationship, I must yield. I must yield. As a child, I must yield to my parents. I must give them respect. I must give them place. I must give them honor. I must cause my wants, my desires to come into alignment with what they are, the instruction that they are giving. In relationship with our spouses, there are times, and it's sometimes a weekly thing, sometimes it's a daily thing, sometimes it's an hourly thing, where we have to yield. Imagine if two people are constantly just not backing down. Are they ever going to be in relationship? Can they walk together? How does the Bible say it? Can two walk together except they be in agreement? Agreement. They can't. Relationships end at the point where there is no yielding. That is where relationships end. And so it is with God. We cannot be in relationship with God if we do not yield to him. He yielded to us. I know that sounds strange, but he did. He gave us the Ten Commandments. He gave us the law. He gave us all of these things. And he said, Keep these things, and if you don't, eternal damnation. And we know the story. They didn't keep them. Right? We didn't keep them. And then he said, okay, I'm going to send my son. And he's going to set the example. You're going to see a life fully yielded to me. You're going to see what I can do whenever I am completely in control of you. And Jesus came to this earth, and he lived, and he died, and he brought freedom through relationship. Now, it wasn't just a set of rules. Now, it was relationship. And this relationship works in this way. When God places his spirit within us, when we come to Jesus and we yield to Jesus, he places within us his spirit, and then his spirit within us rebirths us. We are reborn, and our spirit is being saved. That body is still going to die, right? It happens one of two ways. Either the body dies, or there is coming a day when he comes back and it says, the Apostle Paul said, it doesn't yet appear what we're going to be like, but we know when he appears, we'll be like him, for we shall see him as he is. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, this mortal will put on immortality. And so, relationship with God is me yielding my will, my mind, my will, my emotions, my soul, my spirit to the will of the Father. By being in relationship with him, I am bowing before him. And that is the supernatural pursuit. That is the supernatural obsession. We are called into relationship with a supernatural God, but it can't just be our mind. It has to be our heart. It has to be this pursuit of God. We have to worship God by yielding to God. And in doing those things, that is how we reach relationship with this supernatural God that we can't see, that we can't physically touch. Relationship with the supernatural goes beyond our physical understanding because it has to do with this supernatural act of worship. Yielding to God. And that equals relationship with our Heavenly Father. Our physical acts of obedience, yielding to God, releases the supernatural power of God into our lives. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God." We read this. All who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The way we are led by the Spirit of God is by worshiping God, yielding to God, being in relationship with God. Here's the reality. You and I can never achieve holiness in and of ourselves. We can't do it. How can unholiness produce holiness? This is the reason that we need a relationship with the Holy Father. This is why we must yield to him. When we truly surrender all of ourselves to his hands, he can fill us with his Holy Spirit. Our original design at the point of creation was that we reflect the glory of God. That was the original design. Said that God created us in his image, in his likeness. He created us as a reflection of his glory. Being restored to right relationship with him is being restored to a place, a position where we once again are reflecting the image of our Creator. 2 Corinthians 3, 16 through 18 says, "But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. It says, now the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. For we all, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory, and we are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. How are we transformed into his image? By the Holy Spirit. How does that work? What are we supposed to be doing? It says, we, with unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory. Contemplate the Lord's glory. Y'all are familiar with that song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, Look Full in His Wonderful Face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. What does it mean to reflect God's glory? Think of a mirror, right? What does a mirror do? What does it reflect? What's in front of it, right? Whatever is it before it, right? Think about a camera. A camera recreates an image. How does it do that? You have to focus on what you are desiring to reproduce, correct? Okay. Does the camera have to do anything special in order to put itself into a position where it's able to do that? You and I were created to reflect. We were created as a reflection of the image of God. And so the only reason that we are not producing that in our lives is because of where we have our focus. Where are your eyes? Are you focused on your sin? Are you focused on the problems that you're facing all around you? Are you focused on your shortcomings, your weaknesses, your situations that you find yourself in? Are you focusing in all of the junk? How many of us, we start listening to maybe talk radio, or we're looking at news feeds, and before you know it, we're just regurgitating all that stuff. Before you know it, we're mad at the world. We're looking for somebody to slap, you know. And next thing you know, we're reposting. Repost, repost, repost. Exclamation point, you know. We get wrapped up in it. Maybe we should back up and turn some of that stuff off. And maybe we should get our Bible out. Maybe we should get in the Word of God. Maybe we should turn on some worship music and start listening to worship and allowing our spirits to enter into worship. Maybe we should start talking to God about the problem rather than just complaining about the problem, because there's only one person that can fix the problem, and that's our Heavenly Father. He can fix the problem. We are created to reflect the image of God. But we must get into a place of relationship with God by yielding to Him, and allow ourselves to be changed into His image and His likeness as we contemplate his glory. Amen? Here's my conclusion. The reason that there is an obsession within each of us, an attraction toward the supernatural, is because it is the Spirit of God tugging at our hearts. And he's drawing us back into relationship with our Heavenly Father. God's desire is that we live a supernatural life. Every day in relationship with God should be a supernatural experience. Living in the supernatural is a process of daily yielding to the will of God. There is no limit to the power of God. There is no limit to God's power. Only we limit him in our lives by our lack of faith, which is a direct result of our unbelief. Only we limit God in our lives by our lack of faith, which is a direct result of our unbelief. That's not the same thing. Our belief is only limited by what our minds can comprehend. Our belief is only limited by what our minds can comprehend. If we desire for the full power of God to be unleashed in our lives, we must increase our faith in him. The only way to increase our faith in him is to move beyond the limitations of our mind and let our hearts lead us into relationship with the Father. Loving God with our mind is part of it. We must love God with understanding. Love the Lord your God with all your mind. But it says, what's the first thing? It's your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. Here's what I want us to do. I ask that you not only today, but every day, each day, that you would get still before God. I want us to get still before God, to still our minds, to still our hearts. I want us to start with a prayer of surrender. Just right where you are, I want you to close your eyes and meditate on this prayer. Father, I humbly come before you. I ask that you forgive me of my sins. I recognize your sovereignty, and I fully surrender myself to your will. May your kingdom come, and your will be done in my life, even as it is in heaven. I ask that you would reveal yourself to me. Show me your glory. I want to see your face. Draw me into your presence. Allow me to experience you. Come and consume all that I am, my heart, my mind, my will, my emotions. I surrender my being completely to you. Holy Spirit, come and fill me. Reveal the Father to me. I give you complete control of all that I am. I surrender all that I am, and I take upon myself all that you are. I am your vessel, your hands, your feet, your mouth, your eyes, your ears. Place your heart within me. May my thoughts become your thoughts. I want to know you even as you know me. Would you open up the eyes of my spirit so that I may see your glory? Open up my spiritual ears so that I may hear your voice. I open up myself completely to you. Come and fill me, Lord. Just where you are, I want you to begin to just listen and seek the face of God just for a few minutes. I'm going to play a song. And as I'm playing this song, I just want you to continue to focus in on God and let Him speak to you. Want to sit here at your feet, caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. I'm not here for blessings, and Jesus, you don't owe song and take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. Oh, I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forgot that you're enough. And take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I'm caught up in your presence. I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this whole moment. I never want to leave. I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything more than anything that you can do. I just want you. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. Oh, I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. Oh, I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. Thank you. I just want to sit here at your feet, caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. I'm not here for blessing. Jesus, you don't owe me anything more than anything that you can do. I just want you. This is our prayer, Lord. This is our heart's cry. Moses got it right when he was in that place on the mountaintop, and he realized the impossible task that was before him. And he knew the only way that he was going to be able to do what was being asked is if you were with him. In that moment, he was crying out, "Show me your glory. Show me your glory." Father, I ask that you would reveal to each of us your authority. Reveal to each of us, give us a revelation of your glory. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would continue to draw our hearts into a deeper relationship with who you are. Because in your presence, there is fullness of joy. In your presence, at your feet, we find ourselves complete. There's nothing else more satisfying than to be in your presence. This is where our strength comes. This is where we are changed, right here, right in this position of worship. This is what changes our hearts. This is what changes our minds. This is what changes us on the inside. And we begin to reflect the glory of God. We begin to become a reflection of our Heavenly Father in the way that we speak, in the things that we say, in the things that we do. This isn't just so we can feel good. This is because when we get up from here and we walk out these four walls and we encounter people, they are encountering the love of God. They are encountering the presence of God. They are encountering God's glory as it is being reflected from our lives because we spent time in the presence of the King. We spent time in the presence of our Heavenly Father. Do not neglect relationship. This is what your heart is longing for. This is what your heart desperately needs. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your presence. Thank you that you are drawing us. I thank you for each and every person that is here in this place today. I thank you, O God, that you're speaking to us. May it be so, O God, that you would continue to reveal your glory to us. May we find ourselves lost in your love. We love you, Jesus. Jesus. There's such a sweet presence of God in this place. I'm not going to end this because there are some of us that want to stay here a little bit longer. I do thank you so much for being here. I love you. What's more is the Father loves you. Thank you for being a part of this family. If you're a guest in the house, if you're a visitor, we thank you so much for being here with us. Be sure to connect with someone at the Welcome Center before you leave. We want to know to know that you were here and to be able to give you a gift and speak into your life. May our Heavenly Father grace you with His presence. And as you go from this place, may you encounter His presence day in and day out, moment by moment. And may you be drawn into His presence. May He grace you with relationship that goes beyond your understanding and goes straight to the heart. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be blessed. Go in the peace of God. Caught up in your breath.